Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
While you're turning there, real quick, ladies, join Pastor Mandy this Friday night for a night of worship. It's a creative night, lots of painting and creativity and all that good stuff going on, but the main course is worship and the Word of God, fellowship with like-minded women. This is a great opportunity for you to bring out your co-workers and neighbors. It's going to be great. While you're turning to James chapter 1, because some of you are trying to figure out where in the New Testament that is, if you don't, they're going to throw it up. I want to just encourage you with this funny and humorous story. A preacher went to visit an elderly woman from his church who had just had an operation. As he was sitting there talking with her, he noticed a bowl of peanuts on the stand next to the bed. Some of you are already giggling, you know where we're going. He began to eat them, and soon it was time to leave, and when he got up, he noticed he had eaten all of her peanuts. "Sister Jones, I'm sorry, but I ate all of your peanuts." She replied, "That's okay, Pastor. I don't like peanut M&Ms, and they didn't have any regular M&Ms, so I just sucked all the chocolate off of those." I did that to make you laugh and also to suppress your appetite for the next 25 minutes. Let's go to the Word of God. Every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Turn to your first choice neighbor and tell him, God doesn't change. Oh, that's a good promise. God doesn't change. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, you are not my source. And I am not your source. And that should excite you. You're not getting what you need from them and them not getting what they need from you. You may be seated. To catch everyone up, the last couple sessions, we have dove into the fact that Jesus is our source. Jesus is our source, and everything else and everyone else is a resource. I've said this many times, and I will say it many more times, that I'm never surprised that God blesses me, but many times I'm surprised how God blesses me and who He chooses to use to bless me, meaning I'm shocked at some of the resources God flows through to get me what He has promised me, but I recognize if it's good and perfect, it comes from God. So the enemy will do everything he can do to break your focus, to break your stride, your momentum, that you have in the source that is Jesus. The enemy will do that in three ways. He will distract you, dissuade you, and discourage you. We started in James chapter 1, verse 1 last week. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Can I just pause right here and tell you, I got so excited preaching this last week, I left the best part of this verse out and what God showed me. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, not when you jump. There's a difference between falling in temptation and jumping in temptation. Falling is a mistake that should have never been made. The devil caught us sleeping, caught us not focused, broke our stride, broke momentum, caught us not looking at the source, and we made a one-time mistake. And I want to encourage you, if you've made a mistake this week, God is gracious to forgive you. His grace is sufficient. His mercy is fresh every day. And you are one prayer away from saying, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And He gives you a brand new. That is different than making a decision over and over and over again. I want to encourage you. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. But if you are jumping into temptation, come on, you know what it was like the first time you dove off the high diving board at the neighborhood pool. You didn't just run up there and jump in. Remember what you went out there to the very edge. You looked down, you looked out, you looked at your friends. Then some of us, we backed up again thinking about it. Some of us are asking God for help with decisions that God has already given us the power and the control and authority to be able to overcome. And so I want to encourage and empower you, believer, today in the room and online. If you are a believer, you have the same access to the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, meaning this, that if you feel like you're getting froggy and you want to jump, you can pray about it. You You can ask God, God, I need your help right now because I want to jump into this. But I know that, Lord, there's something greater if I can just take a step back. Count it all joy when you fall, not jump into diverse temptation. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's talking about time. Time can be, and time most likely is, the biggest enemy of faith. It's why we can believe it so strong on Sunday at 11:49, but it's tough to believe it the same way Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock. That's why it's so easy to say, God, you can. God, you turn graves into gardens and seas into highways. When we've got hundreds of people all moving in faith, surging in that moment, saying, God, you can. It is so different than when you're by yourself in the doctor's office. That's when it takes somebody saying, hey, God, you're still my source. Just like you were on Sunday, I'm still connected on Monday. Just like when we were worshiping, God, I heard you and you heard me. I know on Thursday, you still hear me. I'm still locked in. I still hear you. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Most of us do not struggle with the if it is going to happen. We struggle with the when is it going to happen. I think most of us in this room would agree that we know God can do it. Most of us have enough faith. God, I know you will do it, but God, I need it to be done right here, right now, in this moment. And when it waits till Monday, or it waits till April, come on somebody, or it waits till 2023, and we've got 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months between when we begin to declare it and when we see it, the if begins to really start waning, but the when is what gets us. Isn't it amazing that what you need when your faith is tried is patience, but what is produced when your faith is tried is patience? It's a cycle. God, I need patience. He said, well, I'm going to give you patience. I'm going to give you patience by making you wait. Come on now. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If you are a note taker, which I encourage you to be, take these notes down. These three phrases, perfect, entire, wanting nothing. We're going to get to that here in just a little bit. Get back to that. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. We talked last week that wisdom is knowing what to ask for. Faith is knowing how to ask for it. Pastor Mandy, when she was receiving the offering today, she mentioned wisdom, and she went to the greatest, the most wise man to ever live, Solomon, in all of his Proverbs. I'm glad I'm married to a wise woman. I will ask her thoughts on many different topics because her perspective is one where she does not take one side or the other. She always gives word. She always gives what God's word says and what God has asked or led her to do. And so I want to encourage you, if you can ask for anything, ask for wisdom. Pray for wisdom more than you pray for money. Come on, somebody. Pray for wisdom more than we do promotion. Why? Because if we get wisdom, we can do on our job what will get us a promotion. You say, well, I really want a husband or I really want a wife. Oh, get wisdom. Wisdom will help you decide who not to hook up with, who to hitch your life to, who to get married to, who to date, court, whatever you want. I want wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, just ask God. Then it tells us four things about God. It said he will give. That means God's a giver. Number two, God is an equal opportunity giver. It says he gives to all men liberally. Number three, God is a liberal giver, which means he doesn't just give you what you need. He gives you more than enough. He doesn't give you enough just to survive. He gives you more than enough. Why does he give you more than enough? Because our God is not a barely God. Our God is not a just enough God. Our God says, I'm going to take care of your needs, but I'm going to give you some of the desires of your heart. But I'm really blessing you because you can turn around and be a blessing to your neighbor, to your coworker, to your community, to your city. And who abradeth not? Have you ever been given something by somebody who you knew didn't really want to give it to you? You caught them at the bottom of the bag of Skittles. Where if you had caught them when they first opened it, they would have been fine. But knowing that they got four or five left, they don't want to share. When I got married, that there was Mandy and I were figuring some things out. She's 17, I'm 21. And we are so busy that we don't, I know this is going to shock you, I eat out a lot. I know that shocks you with this physique. And I told Pastor Mandy, I said, now listen, when I go to Whataburger, I'm going to call you. Back then, we weren't texting a whole lot. I said, I'm going to call you. And you tell me whatever you want. I will get you the entire menu. But don't tell me you don't want anything. And then when I get home with mine, don't you? I knew I was going to get some help right there. Don't think that it's just a fry. It's my fry. Don't think that it's just a bite. It's my bite. I'll get you your own. I'll get you a Happy Meal. I'll get you a number one through a number five. But when I come through, if you said you weren't hungry, guess what, baby? You still ain't hungry. And she knows that even if I would give it to her, it would be one of those stingy gives. Giving with attitude. Frowning on your face, rolling of the eyes. Come on, those of us that are married know that we got that eye roll down. Now, most of us use wisdom. There it is again, to eye roll after the door is closed and we're by ourselves, but the eye roll still happens. But he said, I'm not going to upbraid you, meaning I'm not going to give to you in such a way where I'm mad at you. Why? Because God will never give you anything that you're not ready for. So when God gives it to you, he's excited to give it to you. Why? Because you've leveled up to a level that God says, I know that what I'm about to give them is going to bless them. It's not going to injure them. And so I don't mind giving. And guess what? I'm not going to give them just what they asked for. I'm going to give them a surplus. I'm going to give them more than they need. Verse 6, ooh, it's about to get tight, but that's all right. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That first part we got down. Let him ask in faith. God, I want you to do this. God, I need this. God, your word says this, and the promise says this, and I stand on your word, and I'm going to see this in my family, and I'm going to see this. And we do, but the Bible adds two words that change the complexity of this verse. Nothing wavering. Meaning this, if you're going to waver, don't ask. Because this is the problem with faith talk and a waver walk. Ooh, that's good. Is when we ask God something he said he would give us, and then he doesn't give it to us, who do we blame? We blame God. Well, God, you said you would. And God said, no, you stopped short. I said ask in faith, but you can't waver. If you're going to waver while you walk, don't give me a faith talk. But for those of us that understand today that when I talk it, I'm going to walk it. I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to show it. I'm not just going to declare it, I'm going to be about it. I want to encourage you, talk that faith until it happens. Talk that crazy faith until it shows up. But you need to understand, once you loft that thing out there, the enemy's going to come against you. The enemy's going to talk back to you. The enemy's going to attack you. But you've got to be able to say, hey, what God promised me on Sunday, I know it's Wednesday, but his promise is still in effect. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. I don't know why I've never made this. James is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I've never made this connection, and maybe you did, and it was just beyond me. It's so simple, I missed it. But what is the root word of waver? Wave. And he goes on to tell us here in the very next few verses. And if you remember, we talked about when Peter was walking on the water, when Jesus was his source, he walked on what everybody else sunk in. He walked on what was drowning everybody else, but the moment he looked at waves, it didn't matter how much faith he said he had. The moment he started looking at waves, he started to waver. The moment he looked at the wind and all of the storm that was going on around him, he began to waver. As long as you look at waves, you are going to waver. But when you lock into Jesus Christ and say, you're the only thing I see, you're the only thing I need, you're the only thing I hear, that's where faith grows and produces. It says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave. So simple, I can't believe I missed it all these years. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For some people in this room, and this is going to be a hard saying that I've never said before, in this room and online, you better hope Jesus comes back while you're at church. You know why I say that? Because your faith and your walk with God is only as strong as the last person that you talk to. And so if he comes on Sunday, man, you're all faith. There ain't no waiver here. But God forbid he comes up Monday at 2 o'clock while you're at your job. God forbid, kids, he comes Thursday afternoon while you're at soccer practice. And what you do there is vastly different than what you do here. And what we do publicly is different than our worship and devotion privately. I want to encourage somebody, if you're going to talk source, he has to be your source all the time. There's an old saying that says he is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. And I want to encourage you today, rise up and say, I am through. I am through being buffeted by the wind. I'm through being having my mind changed by the last person I talked to. I'm through living a faith life on Sunday for someone to drop some negativity on Monday and have me fall off. I'm through living for the conference moments and the camp moments and the Sunday moments and the Wednesday moments and the worship moments only for my mind to shift. Because of the wind, because of the waves. Anyone that sees waves knows that they are unstable. So before we ask in faith, we need wisdom. We have to walk in wisdom. Wisdom tells us what to ask for. You know what Tyler and Jaden never asked for at 6 years old, 8 years old? And 10 years old, they never asked at Christmas for a car. Isn't it amazing how a child has enough wisdom to know what to ask for? But we're 40 old believers asking God for something, and God's saying, you're like 8 levels away from being ready for that. If I gave you that today, it would crush you. If I gave you that next week, it would ruin your marriage. I'm going to tell you the prayer I pray. God, I want you to bless my business. God, I want you to make me a millionaire, and I'd love to be the first billionaire in my family, but I followed up with this. But God, if that money is going to mess up my marriage, I don't want it. If that money is going to mess up my kids, I don't want it. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be an influence if it's going to mess up what you have blessed me with. And so when I pray, I use wisdom to know, God, is this something that is going to be a liability to me or an asset to me? So we ask in faith, but before we ask in faith, we operate in wisdom. God, I want to make sure that what I'm asking for is from you. I want to make sure that this is going to add value to my life. Before we ask in faith, we need wisdom. We need to ask questions like this. Is this something I should have? Not can, should. A lot of people ask me can questions. Can I smoke and still go to heaven? Can I drink and still go to heaven? Can I do this and still go to heaven? That's an immature question. I don't mind answering that question from a believer who's been saved for less than 6 months or a year. But we've got to move and we've got to mature to the place of it's not can I, it's should I. It's should I do this as a believer? Should I do this? And listen, if you're asking can I and still go to heaven, why would you risk eternity on something so temporal? But when we move from the can I to the should I, now we're talking wisdom. Should I have this? Should I do this? How is this going to affect my family? Bishop had a 1985 Corvette. Mint condition that him and my brother used to run around in, and I was 15 years old. 3 weeks before I turned 16, he sold it. I said, Dad, why'd you do that? Wisdom. Wisdom. Should I have a Corvette? Can I have a Corvette? He had it, but he said, there's no way that while I'm sleeping 6 or 7 hours a night, and I got a 16-year-old kid that's filling his testosterone and just got some responsibility and just got a license, there's no way that I'm going to have those keys anywhere near him, so I'd rather sell it. You said, well, that was a sacrifice. Oh, it was a sacrifice, but he was keeping his progeny. He was keeping his legacy in line and safe. I want to encourage you. Wisdom asks, should I, not can I? Is this going to be a blessing or a burden? Just think of the silly prayers you prayed in high school. God, I want her so bad. And now you see her on Instagram and you're like, God, thank you so much. I'm going to tell one on Mandy. When Mandy and I got together, she was, when we were talking, she was talking to another young man who she had been dating for a few months. And of course, you know how that story ends. I'm here, she's here, we don't know where he is. But a couple years after we were married, I was rolling through MySpace. That's how long it's been, y'all. MySpace. And he was one of my suggested friends. And homeboy was wearing whitey-tighty underwear, mohawk with a samurai sword in his profile picture. It was like 11 o'clock at night. I got up from where I was, went and found Mandy, showed her the picture, and just said, you are welcome, and just went back and sat down. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Why haven't I gotten it yet? Because God knows how you'd act if you got it. Why haven't I received that yet? Because God knows my heart. He knows what it would do. And so I'm fine saying, God, let your will be done and not my will. You know what my April looks like. You know what my future looks like. You know what the next decade looks like. And so wisdom says asset or liability. Is this going to bring me closer to you, God, or take me farther from you? And then praying always, God, let your will be done. Once we have asked in faith, three words that you've got to get in your spirit, do not waver. We have started, and y'all thought I forgot, we've started in my house not just saying get your hopes up, now it's keep your hopes up. We've been doing this for 75, 80 days now, but keep your hopes up. I know you've got them here, but keep them here. It hasn't happened yet, keep them here. Do not waver. If God said it, he is going to perform it. If God promised you, he is still going to do it. Do not waver. Anyone that wavers is like a wave. A wave is fluid. It's always changing, always moving. Always vacillating. We all know people who are one way one day and one day the next, or from minute to minute or hour to hour. You say, man, those people need Jesus. Oh, they need Jesus, but what they really need is focus. What they really need is to lock in on one thing. That's why Jesus would say a hard truth. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. He said, if you're lukewarm, he said, I will spit you. I will vomit you out of my mouth. He said, I'd rather you be focused on one, but you focus like this on Monday and focus like this on Tuesday. He said, there's too much movement in your life. And if there's movement, you are going to waver. A wave is never in control. It is always being moved and manipulated by another source. Pastor Mandy's gotten, and she preaches to me all the time, and not in a bad way, but we talk, and when I say preach, she ministers to me all the time. And one of the things that we were talking about was a situation that we were connected to a few months ago, and there was a lot of people involved, and she said, that's manipulation, and I don't like manipulation. And can I encourage you, if you are being manipulated, you need to get away from that person and get your attention on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus never manipulates you. Jesus created you. Jesus will get you where you need to be, not by manipulating you, but by giving you strength, giving you courage, giving you all the things that you need. But waves are always manipulated by something or some. And so when we do not lock in on Jesus as the source, we're allowing the enemy to manipulate us. I'll be the first to tell you, church, sometimes I've been guilty of having one text at 8:30 in the morning mess up the rest of my day. And now I'm kicking the dog. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. I've never kicked the dog like that. That dog's too little for me to kick, y'all. But I'm mad because of one text. Get one email. Have one bad back and forth with somebody. Get some news from somebody. Or something doesn't happen like you wanted it to happen. Or something happens the first 15 minutes you're at your job. And the next thing you know, the entire day is wasted. All because we were manipulated by the waves that will cause us to waver. And when we waver, we're no longer looking at Jesus. A wave is never in control. We as believers have become, write this down, we as believers have become reactionary when God has called us to be revolutionary. So many of us spend time reacting. So many, when you react, you are now on the defensive. Anybody in any sport will tell you the defense is always at a second position because they're reacting to what the offensive player is doing. And so they are always playing catch up at best. The really good defenders are right there with them because their reaction time is quicker. But some of us, when something happens in our life, we get our eyes off of Jesus and we start reacting. One of the men from this church, I love what he's been saying to me. He said, Pastor, you know what I'm working on? I said, what? He said, I'm working on responding and not reacting. Because reacting is an involuntary move. It's like one of those things where you might be locked in, but if someone were to come in those back doors and yell, everybody would turn around as a reaction. So I want to encourage you, response takes calculated thinking. Response and responding means, God, I'm no longer going to let things in this world dictate what my focus is on, what my faith is doing, and how my feet are walking. I am not going to waver. I'm not going to be a reactionary person. I'm going to be a revolutionary person. So what does that look like in the everyday life of believer? Praise Team, if you'll come. God, you are my source. But then on Monday, my job is my source. Sunday morning, God, you can do it. Thursday afternoon, God, can you do it? I believe every promise of God. I don't know if God can do that one for me. That one's big. Loud worship on Sunday, loud worry Monday through Saturday. Loud prayers on Sunday, loud panic Monday through Saturday. And I'm not even preaching rhetorically. Some of you I'm connected to on social media, and I'm thinking you're living a double life because the person I see on social media is not the one that stands here and worships on Sunday. The one I see on social media is not the one that serves here because you evidently can control your, and this is what I tell young people all the time. If you can control your life for 90 minutes on a Sunday and put a smile on your face and walk the walk and talk the talk and fake it till you make it or fake it till, if you can do it for an hour and a half, you can do it for a day and a half. You can do it for a week and a half. You can do it for a year and a half. There's a lot of times when things around me aren't right, but I keep focused. I'm laser focused on the source and what God has called me to do. I'm not going to be like the world in the world and like the church in the church. I won't be the Christian God has called me to be, the believer God has called me to be, the disciple Jesus has called me to be, no matter where I am or what I'm doing. This is me. This is me. This is me. This is me all the time. You catch me at the barn, you're going to get Jesus. You're going to get ministry. You're going to get love. You catch me downtown, you're going to get ministry. You're going to get Jesus. You're going to get love. Went out to eat Friday night, and the wait staff before us, or the wait staff that was serving the team or the people before us, they were having a bad day. And our group made it a point that they had a good day. I said, hey, I know we got a big group coming in, but I said, hey, we're blessed. And I remember her name was Sarah. Sarah said, she said, that last group of like 20, they didn't tip us. And I said, hey, we're blessed. We're going to tip you good. You say, well, how can you tell her that when the service might be bad? I'm here to tell you the service was tragic. Walked in at 7 o'clock, didn't walk out till 11:20. Bad. Guess what we still did? Tipped them. Blessed them. You know the last thing I did? Hey, you got home church? Yes, sir, I go to Resurrection Baptist. I said, ooh, I like that. Yeah, keep going there. She said, yeah, my dad serves on the ministry team there. I said, ooh, keep going there. Keep serving there. But I said, hey, you're a young adult. On Friday and Saturday night in 2 weeks, we're having a conference, and you can see our building right from where we are today. Go. And she said, I'll be there. What do? We helped her align her focus. I didn't know she was a believer Friday night when I first talked to her. But in a matter of, I was going to say a few minutes, in the matter of 4.5 hours, we helped her focus back. We gave her some faith in humanity, but most importantly, we got our eyes back on Jesus. Stand on your feet. The source is Jesus. I can't wait. We didn't get to where I wanted to get to, but I'm going to say this as kind as I can say this. If you can't live it out there, don't live it here. Me personally, I love when people are pumping their fist. Amen, that's right. Worshiping, hit, and I loved it. And I told Larry, I said, Larry, I went and it just encouraged him because he came down mid-worship and knelt down. I said, Larry, what you didn't see is I said, when you knelt down, your wife came and knelt down next to you. And your son came down and knelt down at the altar. I said, no one knelt until dad knelt, until husband knelt. I love that. But I say that to say this. I love expressive worship. I love loud and amens and just the spirit of the room that we're creating, the culture that we're creating here at Living Way in this 11 a.m. service.